The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their grave.
It takes a little while to get to the chorus on that song, but it had to be done. And I think you guys agree. But if you don't agree, let me know. Give me a call at 512-248-5212. No.
8252.
512-248-8252. All right. I've got my special guest with me. And guess who that is? And you know who it is. It's the man who wrote the book, The Bad War. He wrote the book, the two-volume series, Planet Rothschild, volumes 1 and 2. He wrote The War Against Putin, great book. He wrote The British Mad Dog about Winston Churchill, the truth about Winston Churchill. He wrote I Don't Like Ike about the scumbag Eisenhower. He's a great traitor to our country. And he wrote The Real Roosevelts about Teddy Roosevelt and also Franklin Delano Rosenfeld and his communist wife, Eleanor Roosevelt. Bankerotta, The Protocols of Zion, The Morphine Epidemic. What's the name of that one? So we got other than
genocide.
Wait,
it should be the ventilator genocide, but...
The ventilator, Jenny. Yeah, right. Okay, everybody. It's ta-da, Mike King. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Bowing. All of those books, by the way, were banned by Amazon. You can still find them at realhistorychan.com, C-H-A-N, realhistorychan.com. There's a ton of free stuff, but if people want to purchase the books, they're in PDF format. But they're also available in PDF and paperback once again.
Awesome. Yep. And I noticed that you can get them at Tex Mar's website now.
They publish a few of them as well. Yeah, that's right. The link right
there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you can get in all of your books at realhistorychan.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can sign up for your newsletter.
Yeah, there's the newsletter. There's a ton of free stuff. There's also a free mailing list that gets you a free report, how to respond to an anti-conspiracy theorist. That's at the footer of every page. But check it out, realhistorychan.com. Really unique content, and it's all presented in a way that people can get up to speed very clearly. I keep everything clear, concise, and as short as possible.
Mike, you're responsible for getting me up to speed on everything very quickly. It's your fault that I became so educated about the Jews, like lickety split. You also have a book, I forgot to mention, it's called Climate Boogeyman. That's such a great book. It's got a picture of the fire dude. What's that cartoon, that Christmas cartoon? The fire guy and then the ice guy. What's the name of that?
Heat Miser.
Yeah, Heat Miser. Heat Miser, that's right. Yeah. Well, you're very animated in your illustrations and all your writings, and your books are very easy to get through, and there's a lot of overlap, so I was able to really drive all of the basics home and get super red-pilled. It's been 5.5 years for me now, and then I started into your books, you know, in, I think early 2018, early to mid 2018, and I just voraciously tore through them all within a year.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty great. Yeah, I mean, your books are easy to get through, you know. It's
That was my whole niche when I started out, because it took me many years to research and study and bit by bit acquire all this knowledge and information. And I thought, you know, people don't have that time. How can I put this together so people, like, in a matter of hours can at least get the basic understanding of what's going on? And that's important. We can't just speak to, you know, the academic crowd. People are pressed for time. You know, they need things they can read in a matter of minutes or a few hours. Mm-hmm. Get the essence of things. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah. Oh, very important. Yeah, I have a lot of books that are just really in-depth books, and it's just like they're very daunting and a little intimidating. I'm not the greatest reader in the world. I read and space out, and then I have to go back and read it again.
Yeah.
Well,
my stuff keeps you awake, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I would read your books while I was walking to the train station. I'd be just walking down the street reading your book, you know, almost getting hit by cars, you know, I'm just kidding. But so, yeah, no, it was a good way to spend the time reading a book while you're walking down the street, you know. It's a very efficient way of multitasking, or where you're sitting on the train. You know, a lot of people are sitting there twiddling their thumbs, looking around. Oh, I'm not looking at you. I'm just looking over here. Yeah. Oh, who's that over there? Oh, no. I'm not looking at you. Okay. Yeah. People watching or whatever. I'd rather read a good book and get educated. So, all right. So Mike, let me see here. Let me just, I'll bounce a couple of articles real quick. I'm just going to go through just a couple things. We're going to jump into the Eurasian shift, because that's the continuation. I want to continue that conversation with you from last week, because it really does seem like, you know, I mean, there are some great arguments made for the fact that we're deliberately being destroyed. America's deliberately being destroyed by the Jews, and they're shifting their power over to, you know, BRICS or whatever, or other places. There's also a very compelling argument that, you know, these countries are putting up are not tolerating this Jewish subversion and takeover of their country and culture in the same way they have in America. I mean, they really set up shop here in America like they never had done before, and that's why they've launched themselves into such great power. But you have older civilizations like China and Russia. Russia's already been through it, already been there, done that with Bolshevism. Nobody suffered like Russia has. Would you agree with that, or maybe Europe suffered more than Russia? I don't know.
I would say Russia and Germany got it the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in terms of sheer body count and terror. Mm-hmm. So that was the Great Eastern Power and the Great Central Power. And it's, you know, they played it very cleverly because Russia and China, I mean, Russia and Germany had actually been good allies and part of a defensive alliance in the late 1900s. So I cover that in my book, Planet Rothschild, that the New World Order wasn't going anywhere if you had the central power of Germany and the Eastern European power of Russia, you know, allied against each other. So they had to split them up and play one against the other. And that's what they did. And they ultimately took down both.
Right.
Yeah, those two countries really suffered the worst just in terms of body count and terror and deprivation, you know?
Yeah, the Jews really holocausted Germany, you know, especially after World War II or at the end of World War II. You know, because the Jews have committed so many holocausts against the world that it's just, you know, and people hear that and they think that that's crazy, ridiculous, that no, the Jews suffered the only holocaust that ever happened.
Yeah.
When the Jews didn't suffer any holocaust, the Jews made that up. It's invented. It's provably so.
Yeah.
And they invert the truth because that's what their religion that's what their religion precludes them to do from their holy book, which is very unholy book, unholy satanic doctrine of the Talmud.
Yeah.
So before, like, I make a lot of statements that probably make people have a lot of cognitive dissonance. So, but that's what happened to me. Somebody made a statement. Somebody made a misstatement in a forum once, and I was like, this is actually a Jew that was running a forum on Facebook that said, I saw the post and it had a picture of Richard Spencer giving a speech. He had this nice suit on.
Yeah.
And his post said, buy Bitcoin because Hitler was right about the Jews. So, sure. And I was like, and I was just starting to learn about this, and I said, and I was like, I never see a post like this before. And I was like, that's friggin' based.
Yeah.
And so I decided that that's kind of how I wanted to roll as well, was to make these very sort of, not dog whistle, but make these comments that are true. But make people, it just basically just is like a bomb going off in people's cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Well, so let me see here. They got one, there's some really good stuff on Blacklist of News right now. New York to track residents' food purchases, and I'm not going to get into these, I'm just reading the headlines, and place caps on meat served by public institutions. Okay, yeah, track your food, put caps on meat. Okay, we went over Elon Musk, the ADL should drop the A. Okay, so now get a load of this. The WHO states sex education starts from birth. UN seeks to decriminalize sex with minors. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know? This is disgusting. This is disgusting. All those conspiracies now validated and printed in black and white. Those sick bastards. If any global threat to humanity on the social fabric of society was going to get a response from the willfully blind, surely this is it. Is this going to wake people up or what, folks? Okay, let me just, there's a little bit to read here. Let me read it. The WHO UNESCO report. Now, I know, Mike, you've written about UNESCO in your book. What does UNESCO stand for again?
Oh, that's United Nations Education and Scientific Cultural Organization. So it's basically, I mean, you could just break down the name of it, the acronym, and you could see where they were heading with this when they started it up in the early 1950s when they started pushing it. Mm-hmm. It's basically where today's, you know, cultural degradation, so-called wokeness, originated from.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's you know, when they start these things up, it's all benign sounding, like, oh, we want to promote education and culture, et cetera. No, it's the opposite. It's always the opposite. Like you said, everything's inverted. The purpose was to destroy education and science and culture. But what's interesting is the man who was president, while the big push to get UNESCO and all the universities was going on, was Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was totally behind it. And his brother, Milton, who was president of three different universities at different times, everywhere he went, they pushed the UNESCO. So that's how the universities were corrupted. And from there, it trickles down to the high schools and the middle schools. And now they teach this crap in kindergarten. Mm. So, you know, these things don't just pop up overnight. They're mm-hmm. they're in the making for decades. But who would have believed it? That, you know, Mr. War Hero General looks like a conservative grandpa, Dwight D. Eisenhower, played such a big role in pushing it. But it's bad news. It's just the cultural face of the war, UNESCO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you brought up, yeah, Milton Eisenhower. You mentioned, I remember reading about him in your book. And I don't like Ike. I think you mentioned him in other books too, like in The Bad War. I don't remember which one, but yeah. You definitely have mentioned UNESCO in a couple of spots. United Nations Educational, Social, Cultural Organization. Is that right? Sorry. But anyway, so what was it that Eisenhower did to the? Remember what he did to the Germans in World War II at the end of the war with the Rhine-Meadow death camps. He pretty much killed like 1.7, that's the estimate, somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million German soldiers by reclassifying them as disarmed enemy combatants and circumventing the Geneva Convention description of POWs. A horrible crime he committed. But of course, you know, the Jews want to prop him up, then nobody's going to know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my mom was talking about when she was a little girl, she went door to door singing, you know, they elect Eisenhower. You know, we're all innocent. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Using little kids to do this stuff. Let me just read this. We're acknowledging this for exactly what it is, the push to legalize pedophilia. There is no excuse for the WHO or UN to wiggle out of this being a misunderstanding or out of context. Quoting from Zero Hedge, the 68-page report titled Standards for Sexuality Education in Europe also calls for supplying information to toddlers about enjoyment and pleasure when touching one's own body, early childhood masturbation. I mean, see, this is just like, let me continue on here. The policy paper also states that kids between 4 and 6 years should talk about sexual matters and consolidate their gender identity. This document also asserts that sexuality is present from birth, claiming from birth babies learn the value of pleasure and bodily contact, warmth and intimacy. Soon after that, they learn what is quote-unquote clean and what is dirty, adding, in other words, they are engaging in sexuality education. Now, well, the WHO told reporters that our guidelines reflect established psychological facts based on decades of research. Oh, Kinsey? Can we say Kinsey? Covering the issue, GB News reporter Mark Dolan called development sick and urged that the WHO can go to hell. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, note the original link to the report didn't work. Okay, whatever. Man, I mean, what do you say to this?
Yeah. Well, the push is on. This is the final hurdle. It's pedophilia. And I hate using that term. I slip up and sometimes I use it. Child rape is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
We need to stop using pedophilia because that is just derived from Greek, love of children. I mean, it sounds so benign. I mean, we all love children. No, it's child raping.
Yeah, it is.
So that's the end of the journey. It all began with... You know, they asked for a little bit of quote-unquote tolerance back in the day. You know, they would stay in the closet, but they just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
But that's what they wanted all along is the child rape.
Right. Mike, we're up against the break real quick. Let's hold that thought.
Sure.
And we'll be right back, folks.
Do Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
My friend, you pay $5. What you pay $5 for? This is parking lot guy from 1998. I used to be William Repilliam's parking lot guy in 1998. And my friend, you pay $5. What for? You pay $5 for Mike King's, a subscription to Mike King's newsletter, the anti-New York Times. It's only $5 a month. I charged you $5 a day in 1998 for parking lot. All you have to pay is $5 a day for the whole...
No, that's a great question.
You know, that's a great question.
Would you charge...
Yes. My... Oh, hold on. Bye. I have to go now. Okay, I'm back. It's William Repilliam. Mike, so, yeah, parking lot guy from 1998 was just talking about your newsletter. He enjoys your newsletter. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the anti-New York Times is an added feature at realhistorychad.com. If you sign up for just $5 a month. You'll see, like, in the footer, you can sign up for a monthly automatic. You get the anti-New York Times. Or you could just pay for the PDF package and throw in a little extra. You get the anti-New York Times. A bit. Essentially, what I do is I immerse myself in that filth every day, the New York Times, on behalf of my beloved readers. It's got to be done. Because the New York Slimes is still, to this day, I call it the lead attack vessel of the Juden Press Armada. And they call themselves the paper of record, and it actually is. The New York Times, more so than any other media organ, defines what is news. I mean, thankfully, they're losing a lot of influence in these past years, but historically, that's been their role. They set the agenda, and everyone feeds off of that. So I go through the slimes, and I'll pick out an article, and I'll rebut it, or I'll analyze it, because everything they put out is a truth inversion. So that's what the anti-New York Times is all about. There's, like, you know, I don't know, no more than 1,000 words per issue, lots of pictures. It's a quick, easy read. Keeps you on top of the world each day.
Well, and I've got to agree with Parking Lot Guy from 1998 that your newsletter is incredible. It's really good. It's really good analysis. And I will compare you to Jesus Christ for the fact that you go into hell for us and and you read that slime filth of the Jew York slimes. You know, I don't mean to be pejorative towards Jews, folks, but it is the Jew York slimes, okay? I mean, that's just a very accurate way of saying it. Mike, did you say Henry Kissinger was visiting? Mike, are you there? Not you,
yeah,
Mike. Mike from the station. Mike Sladacek.
Oh, is him? Hello. Hello.
Hello, yes.
Well, I have one thing to say. Since the Freedom of Information Act, I used to say the illegal we do immediately, the unconstitutional takes a little longer. But I don't say that anymore since the Freedom of Information Act.
Ribbit. Ribbit.
My next mission involves 20 inspections.
Oh, well, thank you, Henry Kissinger. I'm happy that you dropped by. Mike?
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Mike, can you kick him out of the station now? No offense, Henry Kissinger, but
get
you got
to
get
dude.
Going. He's 99 years
still,
old.
I'm still alive. Kicking. I'm still kicking.
I got to hand it to you that you're still alive and kicking, Henry Kissinger.
Get out of here. Remember, Trump on his way out the door, he kicked Kissinger off of the Defense Policy Review Board. Kissinger, Madeleine Albright, he shit-canned the whole board.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well,
oh,
you know,
I got to say, Madeleine Albright, just a boon. No, not a boon. A plight on all Czech people. Madeleine Albright. It's a disgrace to
Czech?
Disgrace to Czechs. Disgrace to Czechs everywhere. And also Kissinger sucks.
I didn't know she was Czech.
And
I thought
she
was Jewish.
Also Freud, Czech. Terrible. Well, many, many terrible people from the Czechs.
Yes, they're soiling our Czech heritage. So... Mike, let me kick it over to you. I was just babbling over here, and let me see here. Actually, what I'll do, I'm going to jump on another article real quick.
Take a break.
And are you going to take another break already? We're already halfway into it. Okay, be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
You remember me? I am the big new Brzezinski, and I said something. What was it that I said? Mike King, let me kick it over to you.
Well, Zbig wrote in his book, 1998 book, The Grand Chessboard, which foretold of a Pearl Harbor type attack. He was, he was giving the word out to his fellow elites. But he wrote about if they were to lose control of Central Asia, everything would pivot around there, and they could lose Asia, and the whole, basically saying the New World Order would fall apart. And in order to maintain that, you know, we needed to increase our presence in Central Asia, but the American people won't go for it, you know, unless there was some kind of a massive external threat like a Pearl Harbor. So that's what 9/11, partially what it was all about. So you had 9/11, and you know, the Zionists got their war in Iraq, but the more traditional left-wing globalists got their war in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But after all these years, it's failed. They've lost control of Central Asia. China and Russia are not going to be overthrown and democratized. And you're just seeing their influence all over the world is just collapsing. The United States doesn't even have a presence now in Central Asia or the Middle East, and that's a good thing. So their New World Order, one world structure, is really collapsing before us. You see this war in Ukraine where Russia is done everything they needed to do, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop them. NATO's not going to lift a finger because NATO's under the control of Trump. It's been neutered. So, you know, there's a lot of problems afflicting this world, but, you know, on the positive note, this one world order tyrannical structure that they worked on for so long is collapsing right before our eyes. Okay, NATO doesn't even have the wherewithal to supply Ukraine. So I wouldn't be surprised if NATO doesn't even exist in another 3-4 years.
Well, that would be wonderful. Yeah, NATO is like NATO is an unnecessary zombie of the New World Order bully going around, inventing fake stories about why we need to go and invade. Inverting the truth about Russia, encircling Russia and adding new countries to it. Now, I will push back on you a little bit just because so if NATO is completely neutered, how is it that it's able to add countries in, the reluctant countries like Finland? And I think, I don't remember, some other Nordic country or two over up there, maybe Norway or Sweden, I can't say for sure. But, they're adding. Meanwhile, I know you got Turkey is saying no more NATO for us. And then suddenly there's a strange earthquake that takes place. And, you know, they do have weather control. They have the HAARP, HAARP, which HAARP, that stands for the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Center, which has different, it's like giant fields of electromagnetic beams that they can shoot up and kind of redirect weather patterns and stuff with. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, NATO. Let me ask you that question, though. Why are countries joining NATO still?
Well, that doesn't mean anything because it doesn't make, what makes NATO powerful is the United States. The United States is not in. There's no NATO. I mean, it'll exist as an organization, but what could they do? You know, and the countries that are in NATO, that's the last thing they want to do is take on Russia. The only way they would ever do that is if the U.S. was behind them. So not only is the U.S. not actively involved, Germany and France, they're not suicidal. So Europe on its own is not going to wage war against Russia without the United States. So the United States is the main power behind NATO, and the United States is not under the control of this character in the White House. The commander-in-chief remains Trump, and it will be official when he returns as president. But you see evidence of this is they can't even get the tanks to the Ukraine. You hear all these new stories, Poland is going to send tanks, Germany's going to send tanks, Biden's going to send tanks. It's been a year. They're not getting any missiles, any weapons, nothing. So it's a fake war. The U.S., they're not even going to get involved physically, that's for sure, but they're not even waging a proxy war. So NATO's essentially been neutered. So, you know, what does it matter if Finland joins? They're not. The organization doesn't have any teeth. It's sort of like the Paris Climate Accords. Trump pulled us out, and this character in the White House allegedly put us back in. But now the Greens have been complaining, you know, there's no teeth to this thing anymore. And we're not. We're not doing the carbon system or anything like that. So you have to look at the action and not the superficial. And, you know, the net result is, you know, Ukraine is never going to join NATO. And eastern Ukraine is now part of Russia. And it's a done deal. And Crimea is never going back. And, you know, the U.S. is not involved in the Middle East, not involved in Central Asia, and they're not even getting involved in Eastern Europe. And there's peace on the Korean Peninsula. So these are the real significant, meaningful things you have to look at. The fact that on paper NATO still exists, you know, doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were a lot of people, I remember when this so-called war started over a year ago, were writing to me, oh, my God, Mike, it's World War III. I said, no, it's not. Everything's under control. There's not going to be a war in Europe. And there hasn't been. There's just been a limited military action in the east, all to Russia's favor. And you know, that's what's most significant.
Okay.
Because remember what the plan was, if that satanic witch was elected, was to bring Ukraine into NATO and then provoke Russia both in Ukraine and in Syria. That was the plan. And George Soros 7 years ago was even threatening World War III openly. So... you know, none of that is even on the horizon. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do a little about this Zbigniew Brzezinski. Just going to read the Wikipedia on just one paragraph of it. He was born on March 28, 1928. He died on May 26, 2017. Known as Zbig, was a Polish-American diplomat and political scientist. He served as a counselor to President Lyndon B. Johnson from 1966 to 68 and was President Jimmy Carter's national security advisor from 77 to 81. As a scholar, Brzezinski belonged to the Realist School of International Relations, standing in the geopolitical tradition of Halford Mackinder, don't know who that is, Nicholas J. Spykman. While elements of liberal idealism have also been identified in his outlook, Brzezinski was the primary organizer of the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission came out of the Bilderberg Group, which came out of the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations in 1925, Bilderberg Group 1954, Trilateral Commission 1972. And there's a book by Daniel Eschulin called... I forgot what it's called. Dang it. Look him up, though. Daniel Eschulin. It's about it's called the Bilderberg Group. Yeah. Anyway. Mike, let me kick it to you. If you just want to say anything else about Brzezinski.
Well, yeah, he was a very, he was basically the handler of Jimmy Carter. When Jimmy Carter was a nobody, he was a governor of Georgia, Brzezinski brought him in to the Trilateral Commission, Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. So Carter was a total front man of Brzezinski. I guess his greatest achievement in his mind, he even boasted about it, was setting the trap in Afghanistan for the Soviets to come in. They set up one of those proxy armies, you know, those ISIS-type armies in Afghanistan, to destabilize Afghanistan, which was a non-aligned country. They sought to have good relations with the Soviet Union and the United States. They were non-aligned, but they set up this rebel force, and the Afghans asked the Soviets to come in. And initially the Soviets says, no, we can't, because then everybody will blame us. You've got to find a way to suppress this CIA army. That's what it was. And then ultimately when they couldn't, the Soviets went in, and it was a trap, because they went in, and it was these ferocious fighters who were armed to the teeth by Brzezinski and Carter. And then later on, Reagan sold them Stinger missiles. So they set the trap for that deadly Afghan war, which for 10 years bled the Soviet Union, led to its collapse. And then the idea was they were going to incorporate the ruined ex-Soviet Union into the New World Order. And everything was proceeding according to plan until Putin came along. And that's all explained in my book, The War Against Putin, which is why they hate him so much. Because if he had not pulled off the miracle that he did, Russia itself would have split up and eventually been gobbled up by the EU and NATO, and the New World Order would have been on a roll. And so it's an amazing story, a long chess match. And indeed, that's Brzezinski's title of his book, is The Grand Chessboard. But it played out over, 40 years, even more if you go back to the origins of the Cold War.
Mm. Well, you brought up an interesting point, and that's that they wanted to bring the old Soviet Union. They wanted to bring the Soviet Union, which had fallen apart, now into the fold of the New World Order. Now, I would have thought that the Soviet Union was already like one of the central hubs of the New World Order, based on the fact that, it was a Jewish, Bolshevism in 1917 was a Jewish, takeover of Russia, where they slaughtered millions and millions and millions of Russian Christians, tens of millions, 66 million is the estimate Alexander Solzhenitsyn gives in his book Gulag Archipelago. He also wrote the book 200 Years Together about the history of Russia and the Jews and the czars and everybody. So, I would have thought that they were already part of it. What do you say?
Well, what happened was, initially, Lenin and Trotsky, they were their boys, their Bolshevik one-worlder radical revolutionaries. And then there was a power struggle where Stalin outmuscled Trotsky, exiled him, and eventually had Trotsky murdered. Mm-hmm. And basically the difference between a Stalin and a Trotsky was Trotsky had no really loyalty at all to any idea of Russia. He was a one-worlder all the way. Whereas Stalin was like a nationalistic communist. It's not to say he didn't want to take over countries and influence the world in his own right, but Stalin was not going to take orders from London or New York. And that's what the Cold War is really about. It's not about capitalism versus communism or democracy versus totalitarianism. It was just competing crime families. So Stalin was, this is not to defend Stalin anyway, but he was not in the pocket of these one worlder globalists. And that was a problematic, which led to the Cold War. And then after he died, the new crew that took over, Khrushchev and those fellows, for lack of a better way of putting it, they were more moderate type Soviet communists. We could have begun a process back then of getting along and at least having a mutual understanding. But it was really the globalists needed to conquer the Soviet Union at that time. And so that's why, the Cold War probably would have ended if Kennedy wasn't murdered, So at that point, they needed to keep it going, even though the Soviet Union, even though it was a shitty communist system, it was not, the aggressive global boogeyman that it was under Stalin.
Right.
And they could have gotten along with the Soviets, but they chose not to because they needed, they wanted that landmass completely subordinate to the New World Order. So that's in a nutshell. They had Russia completely with the Lenin-Trotsky revolution, and then they began to lose it a bit when you had Stalin and his own ego. So you had a clash of egos there. So that, hopefully that gives a little better understanding of what seems like a paradox, like why were we at a Cold War when they're part of the New World Order, but they actually weren't.
Right. Yeah. That's really a very important twist in things, that very, very important fact that Stalin was behind a more of a nationalistic type of Russia-based, Moscow-based New World Order. Probably Stalin would have been okay with being the head of the New World Order, but he did not want to be subordinate to anyone. That's just, that's pretty interesting. But, you know, that's important to note also that Stalin killed millions of his own people. But I guess, I don't know if he would have considered the Ukrainians to be his own people. He was from Georgia, which is a part of, that's where it's the old Khazarian empire area down southern Russia. But the Ukrainians were largely ethnic Germans that had moved there to help with the farming. The Ukraine was the breadbasket of the world. And noting that Stalin was not loyal to many of his own people, but that there were a lot of different ethnicities, and maybe he hated Germans too. I know he was married to a Jewess, and that his brother brother-in-law Lazar Kaganovich was a Jew that murdered millions of Christians, right? And I think Gengrich Yagoda was under him as well, under Lazar Kaganovich. Gengrich Yagoda presided over the death of 10,000. I don't remember if Gengrich Yagoda was directly involved in the Holodomor or not. I don't remember that or not. Yeah, but you know, you hear about these bloodthirsty, maniacal killers, these Jewish commissars that were presided over murder. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Then I guess that nationalism kind of carried on its way on through, and they had sort of the Mother Russia attitude, and then internally you've got Jewish communism as the ideology, as the political infrastructure, kind of like what you do in China now. Well, China is like the blueprint, like the poster child for robot dog, and like having the surveillance state and all that, and the 5G and all that stuff. But at the same time, they're not submitting to the New World Order in a way. And I saw a tweet, not a tweet, but an article. Yeah, maybe it was a tweet, but it was about how China was outlawing circumcision, which I think is a fantastic thing, because Jewish circumcision is genital mutilation of babies. If you don't know about that, read up on it in Janice Barcelo's book, Birth Trauma. It's a really, really, really eye-opening about this. It probably will bring you to tears. It'll probably bring up a lot of pain and hurt in you. But it's something we got to face, this terrible, horrible crime of circumcision.
Mission was Route 66. It lasted 30 minutes, and there were two thermal anomalies detected.
Thank you. Thank you, Robot Daga. That's Robot Daga, and she just came to educate us about something. We always appreciate Robot Daga to help correct us when we're spreading misinformation. Thank you. I love it. Don't you? We got a couple minutes left. So let me just, we got the BRICS nations are expanding dramatically. I just want to get your comments on this, Mike. Okay. You may have heard, I'm just going to do the highlights on it. You may have heard the term BRICS when reading about world affairs and wondered what it was all about. As we watch the American dollar and the economy lose power on the world stage, the alliance could quickly move, take its place, especially as other countries that used to be allied with us move over to this bloc. As a matter of opinion, I think on the global stage, BRICS is a union we should watch, as there are several large economic powers involved that aren't exactly friends of the United States of America. Should this group continue to grow, it's possible that it could dramatically affect us with regard to world trade. And that's the very least. Let's look a little deeper into it. And then, you know, obviously, well, it's not exactly friends of the United States of America. I would say it's not exactly friends of America, Inc. The imperialist has nothing to do with America. International Jewish cabal of tyrannical warmongers, neoconservative warmongers. What say you, Mike?
No, I don't see any threat to BRICS. I think BRICS is a positive thing because it's breaking free of the U.S. economic dominance, which is the Jewish economic dominance. You just look at the nasty attacks on BRICS from the Rothschild Economist magazine and other sources. You know, they fear the BRICS, but BRICS is not a political organization. It's just the economic, you know, trade bloc.
Yeah.
It's just another sign of the New World Order falling apart. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a case of the Jews hedging their bets and moving somewhere else. I mean, I read that analysis. That's frankly, that's quite bizarre.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, let me just say this real quick. Okay, so Chris Ray in Texas and Laura in Michigan. I'm sorry I missed your calls. Call back next time. We're running out of time here. We got Neil in Boston.
Can you please provide a question or a context for me to answer?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I literally like live in Boston, and I take MBTA, like the bus, and we have like an influx of like illegals here. So today I misplaced my my headphones. So I could, like, you know, I listen to, like, you guys, or, you know. And so on the way back home, there are people on the bus who, they play their phones, like, out loud. And they play, like, illegal alien stuff. So what I did today, like, on my way back home, was like I played you guys, like, and it was like English language stuff, right? And so there were these, like, they were separated, you know, but there were these, like, American women, probably trannies, but they both looked at me and they gave me like a bad stare, and they were like, wanted me to like turn my phone down. And meanwhile, all the illegals all around, everybody on the bus, they were blaring their stuff like no problem, but they looked at me like I had, you know, I was the problem. And it was just like, you know, I cranked it up all the way. I was just like, here you go. Here you go.
Good for you.
All right. So we're fighting appreciate back it, in Neil. Boston. All right. I love you.
Hey, awesome. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
We appreciate it. Bye. Have a good one. Mike, let me kick it over to you and get your final comments. We just got a couple of minutes left, and it's just go ahead. It's been great having you on the show, and I hope to have you back, and I hope you'll come back. But let me just kick it to you and see what you got.
Well, I mean, that's things are moving very slow now, but they're moving in a positive direction in terms of this globalist one world order falling apart. You know, on the downside, we still have so much damage was done to us over the last century. You know, even without the globalists around, we have remains to be seen if we can rebuild as a society. But you know, we'll have to see. But we're going into a very interesting year. There's no question that Trump is going to return with a tremendous amount of power. But you can keep track on what's going on at realhistorychan.com. And, you know, sign up for the free report and get on the mailing list. It's in the footer of each page, realhistorychan.com.
Mike, thank you very much. Thanks again. It was great to have you on. And you take care.
Okay, sure thing.
Awesome. See you guys later. See you next week. We'll see you tomorrow on Jeremy's show in plain sight, and then on Friday at the Red Pill Punch Bowl.
Medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being.
To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.